Hi, friends. Welcome back. I'm Stacey Bellward, the host of the Connected Families Podcast. Welcome to our community. We are people committed to pursuing God's grace and truth for ourselves and then daily working to pass that grace and truth on to our children. I'm so glad you're here today. Listen, before I jump into my interview with Max Licato, I can't wait. I am so excited. I need to let you know that we are at the very end of our fiscal year and there is a shortfall. Would you please consider a donation to Connected Families today? We need your help to bridge the funding gap. Why? Because many parents feel stuck. Maybe you felt stuck. They want to lead their families with grace, but don't know how. Your generosity is needed today to help parents get unstuck. Please tap through to the show notes and donate right now, maybe while you're listening to this great conversation with Pastor Max Licato. Okay, so I really don't think I need to read an official introduction because Pastor Max has touched our hearts over and over again as we have read one of his 70 plus books. Maybe it's to our children, like his book, You Are Special. And through his books, he shaped our theology and understanding of God as we worked through hard issues like grace, suffering, and how the Holy Spirit empowers us for Christian living. Pastor Max recently came out with another children's book that will teach and touch your soul, Mom and Dad, as much as it's going to comfort and teach your children that Jesus will never leave them or forsake them. The book is called Just in Case You Ever Feel Alone. Man, that title just makes me want to cry right now. It's so sweet. The book is beautifully illustrated by Eve Tharlett, who drew the kindest looking mama bear you will ever see. I am really excited to tell you that you could win Pastor Max's book and an adorable little brown teddy bear. It's so cute and soft and cuddly. So tap through to the show notes for a link to the Google form where we ask for a few responses on a few questions. We're trying to get to know you guys a little bit better. And when you do that, you will be entered to win a copy of his book, Just in Case You Ever Feel Alone, and that teddy bear that matches it. Okay, you guys, let's get to my interview with Pastor Max. Well, Pastor Max, welcome to the Connected Families Podcast. We're happy to have you here.
I feel like I am in fine company. I feel a little bit like that mule at the Kentucky Derby. I'm not sure how I got here, but I thoroughly enjoy the company.
We are grateful that you took the time to be on our podcast today. And I just want to say to you, I'm so grateful to you for how you have pastored so many people. You've pastored me, and really specifically, I really want to say this to you, Pastor Max. I am so grateful for your voice. We need you. We need your example of standing firm to the end, running the race faithfully in this day and age with all of the temptation and the distractions and all the things. And I really am just truly grateful for how you model that for all of us.
Well, you're very, very kind. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm a converted drunk. That's me. That's the best compliment I can pay myself. I became a Christian when I was about 20 or 21, but I was well on the train track that would have led me over the cliff. And so every day I just am grateful, grateful, grateful. That's been about 50 years now, believe it or not.
With the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in your life, and you've taught us so much. This book that you just released and you wrote, it's called Just in Case You Ever Feel Alone. It's for all of the kids. It's available anywhere that you buy books. I have a request for you, Pastor Max. Will you read a few stanzas at the end of our podcast today?
I'll be happy to. I sure will.
I feel like a little kid going to bed at night. Like, read the story to me, Grandpa. Awesome. Well, this book is about loneliness. And I just want to read a couple of statistics. And then I've got a few questions to ask you. So according to recent statistics, 61% of Americans report often feeling lonely. And a study published by the National Institute of Health concluded that 80% of those under 18 are lonely. Those are staggering statistics. And really, they mean we're all lonely, adults, kids, all of us, and it's growing. Okay, here's my first question to you. You're a father and a grandfather. How do you suggest handling conversations about loneliness when our kids are little? And why is that so important to start when they're young?
Loneliness is more than just being alone. It's a feeling alone. You know, you can be surrounded by people in a football stadium and feel lonely. You're not physically alone, but you feel alone. Maybe you feel that there's nobody on your side. Maybe you feel that nobody cares about you. Maybe you feel that you're marginalized because of who you are or some decisions that you've made. So why do we need to be able to be on the lookout for this in the lives of, I have a 3-year-old granddaughter, a 6-year-old grandson, a 9-year-old granddaughter. I have a 6-month-old grandson. I have one about to be born. Why do I need to?
Congratulations.
Thank you. I think we need to help our children have a vocabulary, some words that they can use to describe how they feel. Language is so helpful. It allows me to convey what I'm feeling in a way that's accurate and fair. If I don't have that ability, I can overreact or misreact. You know, I can overreact by taking it out on my brother, or I can misreact by, you know, running outside and hiding under a tree and not letting anybody find me because I overreact when I'm feeling. So if I can give my children or my grandchildren or my nephews and nieces just a language, just the words to describe how I'm feeling, I'm doing them a great favor. So even if a parent were to say, you know, my kid doesn't battle, I've never seen anything about loneliness in their life. Well, the statistics that you just shared say that at some point they will battle this. We all do, I believe. And to help some youngsters have words, if nothing else, to take the book to mom and say, I'm feeling this, or this is me. That's a tool we're giving our children.
That's great. And the book will give you words as you read to your kids. You know, it's loneliness is feeling alone, whether I'm alone or not. I know this is a spiritual issue also. So how have you seen the closeness of God in your own life, which really is the antidote, right, to loneliness? And maybe also in your grown kids or the grandkids, like what has that looked like?
Well, that is a great question. I think you're absolutely right. It is a spiritual issue. The first struggle of Adam and Eve was that they cut themselves off from God. After they sinned, then they hid, you know, they hid yep. from God. And the great question of God in the garden was, where are you? And that wasn't a geographical question. That was a spiritual question. Where are you in relationship to me? Why, we were walking together in the cool of the garden, but now you're hiding from me. Where are you? Where have you gone? What decisions have you made? And so it can be a spiritual issue. And it's one thing to feel like my uncle doesn't care. It's something else entirely for me to feel that God doesn't care. So point on, spot on there. It is a spiritual issue. I'm not a therapist, but I have been a pastor at this church from where I'm talking to you today for about 35 years. And so I've talked to a lot of people through the years, and it dawned on me that so many of our actions begin with misunderstandings or misinterpretations of circumstances. It's an untruth. It's not that it's somebody lying to us. It's just that something happens and we misinterpret it. And that untruth then can lead to a false narrative about ourselves, and that false narrative can lead to an overreaction. I always call this the UFO, untruth, false narrative, overreaction. Even with children, if we can help identify this untruth that is creating a false narrative that then will lead to an overreaction, if we can get back to the root of that, let's say a first grader comes home and they did not have a good day at school because nobody would play with them on the playground, okay? Well, that's a fact, perhaps, maybe for whatever reason. But as parents, our job is to deal with the untruth. Okay. Nobody would play with you at the playground. Why, honey? What happened? It was Johnny not there? Was Susan not there? Well, yeah, they were there, but maybe so-and-so was sick, and I don't like playing with so-and-so. And so you kind of dig into that. And I think with adults and with children, if we can get down and help discover what's the real truth, then we can deal with that. It's not the job of parents or pastors to deal necessarily with the overreaction. It is the job of the spiritual guide or leader to help a person determine what really happened. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they're interpreting it wrong. So that gets us back to the topic of the book. If a child is, you know, throwing a temper tantrum or going and hiding in their room, helping them understand where these feelings come from is essential. And essential mm-hmm. to helping them understand is giving mm-hmm. them a language in advance that will help them express what they're going through.
It strikes me that that is the work of discipling our kids, helping them with their belief systems. And so it seems like a really important teaching and belief system way of discipling our kids is just the fact that Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. And that truth is truth, and it's a fact, but we don't always feel that, right? We don't experience him that way. So how do we know that God is still with us even when we feel alone? How can we feel closer to him in the midst of that loneliness?
You're spot on that our job as parents is to help our children have the correct worldview. Oh, how essential that is. You know, nothing is more heartbreaking than to read these statistics, the ones you referred to earlier, and then there's even more, you know, that the suicide rate is the highest it's been since World War II. So what's happening? What's causing this spiral? We are seeing some positive statistics. I read the other day that there are 44% of people say they're more open to Christianity after the pandemic than they were before. You know, God is always at work, and we don't need to despair. There will always be open doors and possibilities. But what we're trying to do for our children is just create for them a God-centered worldview. They won't get that off of social media. I mean, unless they're following a Christian, you know. And they won't get that just by following the latest pop star. That has to be our job. So first of all, we need to know the worldview ourselves. We're made by God, chosen by God, and destined to live forever with God. That's our worldview. We've been made by God, chosen by God, destined to live forever with God. So no matter how chaotic this world gets, that is true. So if we can distill our Bible-based, God-centered worldview down to a few phrases and just make that part of what we're teaching children. My granddaughter was over the other day. She's 8 years old. And we were sitting outside looking up at the stars. And I said, do you know who made those? Yeah, Papa. Mama tells me every night. Perfect response. You know, let the children just even get a little exasperated because they're hearing it so much. Because at some point, they will need that. And they will appreciate the fact that their mom or dad has deposited that so deeply in their hearts that they can mm-hmm. they can recite it themselves. Did that answer your question? I may have chased a rabbit there.
I'd love us to just get a little bit practical right here. Like in the midst of loneliness and that heavy feeling of just, I'm all alone, and you feel all of that emotion, how can we feel closer to him in that moment?
Sometimes our emotions help us. Sometimes our emotions hurt us. And there are times in which we have to take authority over our emotions, because emotions are not necessarily a mirror of the truth. Last week, I had a particular day in which I felt like I was being excluded from a ministry opportunity. Okay, I'm nearly 70 years old, still thinking like a middle schooler sometimes. Felt left out. And so for two or three hours, my imagination was trying to, you know, go with that. Max, you've kind of lost your edge. Max, he doesn't care about you anymore. Max, I thought he's not really your friend, or he would have invited you. Just, again, adolescent thoughts. Mm-hmm. So after two or three hours in which I was behaving inappropriately, not controlling my thoughts, the Lord reminded me, take every thought captive, make it submissive to the throne of Christ. And so I found a corner and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I've just allowed this particular event to, you know, an untruth to create within me a false narrative. And it won't be long before I have an overreaction if I'm not careful. Well, that's how I immediately, just by talking to God, felt things start to be restored back to accuracy. Just by turning that problem over to Him and having a good conversation with Him. I guess my answer then to your question is, your emotion is not necessarily a reflection of the truth. Your emotion is a reaction to a circumstance. So take that emotion, take that thought, take it to your Heavenly Father, and then take it to Scripture. You've already quoted two or three great verses. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hang on to those and say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to these promises. And whether the emotion reflects the truth or doesn't, I'm going to hold on to these emotions. Pray first, go to Scripture, and those are the tools that we can use to get ourselves back on the path of thinking rightly.
And, you know, I just even might add that in those times when I remind myself of the truth that Jesus is with me, whether I feel close or not, He is near, and I can talk to Him like He's my friend, because His sheep hear His voice, then sometimes I just ask Him, Jesus, show me that You're close to me right now, and wait to hear. And I've led my children in that too. Like, let's talk to Jesus and ask Him a question and ask Him to show us how near He is. And it's been beautiful. God just meets us in all sorts of different ways. And it is really beautiful.
And thinking about what people do if they don't have that tool, there's the culprit, because then there's no way of dealing with that perceived sense of loneliness, anxiety, dread, insecurity. You don't have a way to deal with it. And so you might say, well, I'll go to social media, and that makes it worse. Or you might say, I'll go talk to my friends at school, and what do they know that you don't already? So you need an authority that's greater than you are. Yeah. And this is what we call faith. We put our faith in what God says, not in what I feel. And we trust His word over the emotions that are taking place inside us. That doesn't come naturally. That's a decision that we have to make. But it is a doable response. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is that more and more young people do that than the things that they're doing.
And what a great encouragement. We have the Holy Spirit living in us when we are believers, and He's helping us with this work, whether we're parents experiencing loneliness, whether we're walking our kids through loneliness, or if it's both happening at the same time, which is particularly difficult too. Well, Pastor Max, one more question, and then I would love you to pull out your book and do a little story time with us. But what prayers, because this, the theme of this is kind of how do we as parents disciple our kids? So what prayers do you suggest for kids, big and small, when we experience loneliness?
What if we were to pray the Scripture? Jesus, You have said, You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Jesus, You have said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Spiritually, that is a real double whammy for the devil. It's a right hook and then a left hook. Because we're praying, we're talking to Jesus. So the Satan sees that he has been supplanted. He does not have the authority that he wants to have. And then we're using the very language of Christ, which the devil hates, because just one word from Jesus and Satan has to leave. So I think that praying Scripture is an important tool that we can use.
I love that. We'll have links in the show notes to those two Bible verses if anybody wants to just know the reference and go straight to them. Okay, pull out your book just in case you ever feel alone. I'm telling you, the title of this book just brings me to some tears. It's so sweet. And the artwork is so sweet too. So I'll just let you take it away, Pastor Max.
Yeah. So I'm just going to jump in toward the end of the book. If I seem too busy, just tell me. I'll make time to chat. No question is too big. No question too small. You can count on me for that. And you know what? Even though I'm by your side, sitting right next to you, can you guess what's even better? God is right here too. He never sleeps or goes away. So if you feel alone, just remember night or day, you're never on your own. Amen. I needed to hear that.
Amen. We need to hear that every day, don't we? And remind ourselves of that. Thank you so much for being on the Connected Families podcast. We appreciate you so much.
It's my honor. Hope we get to do it again.
Me too. Hey, friends, did you enjoy today's podcast? Would you rate and review and maybe more importantly, share this episode with a friend? We appreciate that. You know, we are a listener-supported organization. Over 46,000 parents like you listen to this podcast every month. Individual donations make the work to equip and encourage families possible. And please consider a donation today. Your gift is greatly needed as we are closing our fiscal year April 1st. Well, for more information about Connected Families, follow us on Instagram or Facebook or go to connectedfamilies.org. I will see you next time.